In the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Last week we stood in this church and we celebrated All Saints Day with all the fanfare that we could possibly muster in the time of pandemic. We heard and hummed along to great hymns like For All the Saints. We baptized 6 new saints into the body of Christ. And we welcome 24 new families into this parish family. Not quite the countless throng in heaven, but still a joyful reminder of the great things that God is doing among us. Today is the second part of that celebration of the saints, a more somber one, to be sure, this Remembrance Sunday, with its sung requiem and that long list of names of those saints whom we love but see no more. It's a solemn day, to be sure, but one nonetheless connected back to that joyful celebration of All Saints, and indeed back to that most joyful day of all, Easter Day, and the promise of a love that cannot die, a love that holds us all in life, now and forevermore. That promise of Easter is what gathers us this day, what holds us every day, even when our hearts are weighed down by grief. Like the women coming to the tomb early on the first day of the week, some of us may be coming this day into this service with grief that is raw and fresh and disorienting, just doing our best to get by each day. Others of us may come with wounds that are a little more scabbed over, but still we may see names on that list or hold names in our hearts that cause us to feel the ache of loss all over again. I think pretty much all of us feel the weight and the grief of this ongoing pandemic. More than 230,000 Americans dead as a result of COVID-19. And sadly, many more likely to follow this winter. And then there's the pain of our deeply, deeply divided politics on full display this week. Even those delighted by the results of the elections have to acknowledge that nearly half of the country isn't. Even those encouraged by the fact that we made history by electing a black woman as vice president must also acknowledge, as I said in my letter to the parish on Thursday, that we all, as people of faith, have a lot of work to do to heal the wounds of this nation and to build up this country together into a country worthy of our aspirations and ideals. Like those women heading to the tomb in the dim light of the early morning, we bring a lot with us today. Uncertainty about the future, grief, pain, fear. Like those women heading to the tomb in the dim light of the early morning, we bring all of that with us into this room this morning. But just like those women, we too are met here by the dazzling truth of Easter. Christ is alive, risen just as he said. And because that's true, we know that life and love, God's life and God's love, are more durable than anything in all the universe. The tomb could not hold Christ. The grave could not contain Christ. Christ's deathless love is more powerful than all of that. Christ's light and Christ's life are unquenchable. Christ's joy is forever and embraces each one of us. Because Christ is raised, so too shall we be. Because Christ is alive and with us, we don't have anything to fear, not ultimately, not forever, for our lives are hid with Christ in God. Pre-pandemic, that feels like a long time ago, doesn't it? Pre-pandemic, one of my favorite parties of the year was an annual celebration of El Día de los Muertos, the Day of the Dead, hosted by friends of ours in Park Slope, Brooklyn. As you may well know, if only from the Disney Pixar movie Coco, Day of the Dead celebrations for All Saints and All Souls are huge deals in Mexico and other Latin American countries. And our friend Michael would spend days preparing delicious Mexican food that his mother and grandmother had taught him to cook, food to feed the dozens and dozens who would show up in their small Brooklyn apartment. The party started during another pandemic, back in the 80s, in the early days of the AIDS crisis, as a way to gather and to celebrate and to tell stories about friends who had succumbed to the disease that year. The party had grown a lot in the decades since, become more diverse in every way, and certainly a lot more kids now. But the essentials of the party remain the same. Delicious food and wine, good music, and a palpable faith that we remain connected with those whom we love but see no more. People would show up to the party with pictures of those loved ones, photos mostly, that they would use to create a kind of beautiful candlelit altar by the front door. And then with a plate of food on the lap and a glass of wine in hand, they would trade stories, often late into the night, about who those beloved saints were and who they are and what they would make of us now and where they might like to see us go next. For thy faithful people, O Lord, life is changed, not ended. And we are indeed surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Those saints above, whom we love but see no more, are right here, close at hand, cheering us on in our earthly pilgrimage as we run with endurance the race set before each one of us, making the most of the time that God gives us to do the work that God gives us to do, and to love the people that God gives us to love. As the old well-known blessing puts it, life is short. We don't have much time to gladden the hearts of those who walk this way with us, so be swift to love and make haste to be kind. So my friends, my sisters and brothers, my fellow saints, on this Remembrance Sunday, let us rejoice in the fellowship of the saints, known and unknown, that are on every side. And let us live lives that proclaim the hope of the resurrection, that bring a little more light and a little more love and a little more healing and a little more joy into this hurting world. For Christ is alive. Christ is alive. God's deathless love holds us each and all together in this life and in the next. And we are, all of us, Christ's own forever. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen.